Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You know, it's an amazing oasis for everybody. And I think that's the part that we work really hard to try to preserve is that, you know, as the politics get crunchier and the world gets crunchier, it's like, this is the place where you just kind of need to breathe and go, okay, I can reconnect with my soul a bit.
Hi, everybody. I'm Fran Spielman. After a long, hard week covering Chicago and Illinois politics and elections, we are going to take a break this week to talk about music and my favorite place to hear it, Ravinia and the Ravinia Festival. My guest this week is the president and CEO of the Ravinia Festival, Jeff Hayden. Jeff, thanks for joining us. It is a pleasure and a real treat.
Fran, thanks so much for having me on your show. It's a real honor to be here.
You announced your very exciting season schedule last week, and we're going to preview that. But first, let's talk a little bit about you. You grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area and a family of entrepreneurs, and you had a love of music, but you didn't want to be a professional musician. Why not? And why did you become and how did you become to be involved in this most specialized field of performing arts administration?
It is a bit specialized, yes. Music's always been something that I've loved. It's been part of my life since the beginning. Perhaps I was afraid to actually make it my living. Growing up in a family of entrepreneurs, I quickly loved business and how it works and appreciated the creativity that went into entrepreneurship. And I found myself understanding business as a language and, of course, music as a language. And at an early age, realized that I often found myself translating between business people and music people as to how all this should work and what they could do to make it better.
You spent 3 years in the development department of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. That is the heart and soul of Ravinia, now under conductor Maren Alsop. What did you learn from that experience that helps you now?
That was a very formative time. I would say that was my first introduction to the Chicago cultural scene, and I gained a real appreciation about how the Chicago community takes enormous pride in its cultural organizations, and much more so than any part of the country, I dare say, where there is a real, it's not a civic obligation, it's a civic pride in these great organizations, and it's multi-generational, and they're highly competitive in quality with the greats in New York and San Francisco and Boston. And seeing that dedication was very inspiring to me. And coming back 20 years later, that character is still firmly rooted in Chicagoland.
You also spent 8 years as CEO of the Karamore Center for Music and Arts in Katona, New York. They present their own summer music festival, quite a bit smaller from Ravinia, but with a similar mix of music. What did you learn there?
So Karamore also has a wonderful sense of place. And it was a 90-acre estate owned and built by a couple in their 20s that loved music and wanted to welcome people to their oasis of art. And again, to shut out the rest of the world so that we can connect with what's the most important, our souls and each other. And when I came to Ravinia, here's 36 acres of an oasis for the soul, and music happens to be our secret ingredient. And this is basically a very large city on a big night with 13,000 people here, but we are all from different political backgrounds, religions, ethnic backgrounds, but that night at Ravinia, everybody is one, everybody is together, everybody is singing, and that is my hope for the world going forward.
Yeah, it's really like the Garden of Eden for music. And when you took over for Wells Kaufman, who was a larger-than-life persona, he's been a guest on this show also, it was 6 months into the pandemic. You had to stabilize Ravinia's shaky finances and decide when in-person performance were even possible, because Ravinia was forced to cancel its 2020 season. There was a $6 million deficit that you inherited. It required you to borrow from the endowment fund, robbing Peter to pay Paul, robbing from the future. Where does that stand now? Have you paid it back? What a challenge that must have been.
It was a challenge for everybody. I think everybody in the world was writing the chapter on how to ride through a pandemic. What I was grateful for is that Ravinia has been here now for over 120 years, and there's a long-term view that everybody has in either the volunteer leadership or the staff or the artistic side. And even though this was a black swan event with the pandemic, that long-term vision persisted. And so going into it, the board did not lay off any staff, did not cut back any salaries, recognized that it needed to be strong and have muscle to reopen, and how important it would be for Ravinia to be one of the first to reopen when it was appropriate. Because as one of our board members who also ran a very large medical business here said, yes, we can fix people, but you can inspire people. And inspiration is even more important than fixing people. And when I first started, the mandate that I gave myself and the board agreed with is, how can Ravinia open safely and effectively as soon as possible? And we were one of the first venues in the country to open other than Major League Baseball. And I know the Illinois Health Department used our plan as a blueprint for others to follow as well. And I'll never forget seeing audiences come through on the first day and even to the last day of that summer season in 21, just in complete awe and re-inspiration. It was worth everything.
Yeah, it almost brought tears to your eyes, because there were dark days, and I don't know if you ever thought this, but it was so bleak that you felt like, are we ever going to be able to do this again?
And I was very proud of the board for having that long-term view. And, it was quite a commitment to say that they would go into a deficit to be able to support that. And in the end, their commitment ended up being exonerated with the Save Our Stages grants that the government ultimately came out with. And the amount of funding that we received from that pandemic funding equaled the cumulative deficits of the first couple of years reopening. And I'm proud to say that last year, we were in balance last year with a little bit of money left over to reinvest into some things that sorely needed reinvestment. And we're again projecting to be on solid financial footing this year. So very grateful for very wise leadership.
Which brings us to this exciting new lineup and season. You have over 100 concerts on the schedule and literally a salad bar of music, something for everyone. The Chicago Symphony is back for its 88th summer in residence under Maren Alsep. What are you most excited about there?
Well, first of all, we've got the best quote-unquote band in the world with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra here. Yes, you have other places like Tanglewood and Hollywood Bowl, but Chicago Symphony is second to none. And as a former brass player, I may be slightly biased, but that's okay. So we're very grateful to have them here. And then Maren Alsop, one of the leading conductors of the world, who has broken so many barriers for women conductors, really helped the next generation of soloists find their footing. And proud that Ravinia has set the stage to make all of that happen and continuing to bring a spotlight and to set the table for all of those different people in the industry to be able to come together and look forward.
She has her third annual Breaking Barriers Festival on July 26 and 27. That one focuses on music lovers in music and in space, women in music, rather. What exactly is that Breaking Barriers Festival, and why is it so special?
So it's an idea that Maren and I came up with when I first started, and she first started, as a way to, again, set the table to be a convener of different people within different industries. And so, for instance, she has started the Taki Alsop Conducting Fellowship Program now, I believe, in its 31st year. Their alumni have never come together for a reunion. And so we started this as an opportunity to bring them together for a reunion. And they're now on, these women conductors are on podiums all over the world. And so now they're sharing time together. We brought industry leaders together, both in the classical music industry and adjacent industries, to support the careers, you know, of these women. And then there's an opportunity to engage Chicagoland in a different way. We are very impressive in Chicago with the number of women leaders of not only cultural organizations historically, but businesses as well, probably more so than any other community in the country. And so we wanted to bring all those different elements together to see what everybody's learned, to share with each other, and recognize that, you know, while their journeys may look different on the surface, it took the same skills and vision and an opportunity to see how music can maybe inspire everybody through that process.
There's also the Mozart residency with James Conlin, with All Mozart program on Saturday, August 10th. Do you still have those guys and gals walking around the grounds with signs that warn people to shut up during classical concerts? I remember how tough that was when my son was growing up.
Absolutely not.
Did you get rid of that? I hope so.
We got rid of that. Fortunately, my predecessor did get rid of that. I think the lawn is one of the great opportunities for people new to classical music, for young families to be able to come and hear it in a non-judgmental space. So great. You know, if you want to bring your little kids and they're squirming or they're playing a bit, you can sit kind of more to the edge of the lawn and still enjoy a great concert without disrupting anybody else or worried about getting shushed. Or if you're a deep advocate of music and want to be front row and undisturbed there, you can have that as well. So it's, again, it's an opportunity for everybody.
For that, parents are eternally grateful. On the pop schedule, you have James Taylor, Norah Jones, Mavis Staples, Ben Platt, Roger Daltrey, ZZ Top, Elvis Costello, Lyle Lovett, Michael Feinstein. I suspect that James Taylor will be the biggest draw there, at least for me, he is.
James Taylor is the number one most requested artist that we have each year. And so we're thrilled that we actually opened up the summer festival a week earlier than planned to be able to accommodate his touring schedule. And already tickets are selling quite fast for that.
What's magnificent about him is that he sings within that confined register so that he doesn't strain his voice. And so at the age of, what is he, 75 now, he still sounds just as good, doesn't he?
He sounds fantastic. And he's, again, an inspiration for so many of us in the industry, where you can continue to evolve and still have an inspiring impact on your audience.
How do you go about deciding the mix of talent you put on? It must be a very delicate balance. Is there some kind of an equation you use?
I wish I could say it's a perfect equation, and it's just like going to the grocery store and finding every ingredient that you want and buying it exactly as you want it and putting it together that way. You certainly have to start off with that. Ravinia is unique in that it is, I would dare say, the most artistically diverse music festival in the country. A lot of music festivals are well known, but they're usually well known for one or a few limited number of genres. We have everything from Baroque music to pop music to jazz music to hip hop. You know, it's like it ranges for everything. And as you said, there is something for everybody here. And in some cases, it's very obvious with very big names. And in some cases, it's less obvious because part of what we also want to do is introduce artists that are equally as talented but may not have quite had the famous spotlight shined on them yet. And Ravinia is that opportunity for them to have that coming out moment.
Jazz used to be a week-long celebration at Ravinia under the direction of Chicago's own Ramsey Lewis, a treasure. My late husband bemoaned the fact that jazz was no longer such a big focus at Ravinia before he died. It is a cherished, uniquely American art form. Why did you shrink the focus for jazz?
Well, your husband would be very excited about this season's lineup. So jazz is back in a very big swinging way, dare I say. Kurt Elling has been named our jazz advisor. He was born from Chicago and recently moved back to Chicago from New York. And he is helping us curate a number of different shows. And actually on five different Sundays, we have major jazz performances taking place, including Battle of the Big Bands on Father's Day. Grammy Award winning jazz artist Samara Joy coming in, as you alluded to. Michael Feinstein is coming and doing a tribute to Tony Bennett. And we have so many more different variations of jazz coming up, including a lot of crossover with jazz and classical music with the Knights Orchestra and our own Staines Music Institute. So jazz is back. Jazz is very exciting here, and it's a personal favorite of mine, too.
And so you re-emphasized it, I guess.
Absolutely. It's always been there, and it just needed the new spark of Kurt and myself and post-pandemic to reignite it.
The Joffrey Ballet is back. How many nights of that do you have?
So the Joffrey is back for two performances, and this also includes jazz. So with Ramsey Lewis's recent passing, my colleague Eric Soderstrom, senior artistic producer, is very close with the family and got permission for the Joffrey to be able to choreograph, commission a new choreography of pieces to Ramsey's charts played by Ramsey's original trio. And we have a pianist that will be joining that studied under Ramsey Lewis. So we're very excited to have that. The Joffrey here with live performance. And then their second performance is actually geared towards families and kids. So again, with live music component as well.
Who's making their musical debut at Ravinia this year?
Oh my gosh. There are so many great debuts that are coming this year. We are excited about Clint Black making his main stage debut this year. We're also excited about Roger Daltrey coming. We're excited about Katie Tunstall, Samara Joy, as I mentioned, Julieta Venegas, for those. And we have Outkast Big Boy that's making debut. We're also excited to have a repeat coming back, which Gustavo Dudamel making his continued appearance as well. So lots of other debuts as well.
What about country music? That seems to not get much action there. I know Clint Black is there and I love him, but that was about the only person that I saw in the country genre.
Clint Black is certainly a country favorite. Lyle Lovett, you know, is coming back. Jason Isbell is more of modern country that's coming in. You know, you've got a number of other artists that are adjacent to country, you know, as well. So country definitely is a highly competitive market, and we do definitely have a strong country audience here as time allows, and we look forward to continuing to try to build that further.
Yeah, why not more of it, though? Why not more of the big names in country? Because it really is popular.
Chicago is the most highly competitive music market in the country in the summertime, and country is a big part of all of that. We're proud to be an independent venue, so we're not owned or run by Live Nation or the government or another orchestra, and means that we have to compete with Live Nation and casinos and big stadiums for all the names. And as names come here, they're very excited to be here. But there is some competition that we do end up having to fight.
It must be hard to compete with the live nations of the world, the big money people, the big promoters, and the big stadiums. And yet, when you come to Ravinia, the performers looking out from the stage to the audience and the beautiful trees, they love it.
They love it. And we do have a number of different artists that request to come here. And, you know, for instance, Melissa Etheridge is starting her tour with the Indigo Girls here. They both love Ravinia. They feel very comfortable here. I know Bonnie Raitt in the past started her tour here. A number of people do that. When John Legend comes through, he's very adamant about playing Ravinia as well. So it's a place that people who are serious about connecting with their audience and the music come here for the place and the legacy.
The music industry has changed so dramatically over the years. When I was a kid, and I know I'm dating myself here, I bought 45s. The Beatles and the Dave Clark Five and Herman's Hermits and the Rolling Stones performed on the Ed Sullivan Show. Performers could make a killing selling records. Now they make their big money touring, most actively during the summer. How has that made your job easier or more difficult?
It's easier in the sense that everybody wants to be on the road and play because that's the only way that they make money now, or the main way they make money. I think the hard part for all of us is that the touring used to be more of a PR effort, where it was to sell more albums. And so they weren't worried as much about the economics of the concerts. Whereas now that's the only economics that they're focused on. And so that has driven prices up considerably. You look at the cost of concert tickets anywhere, and it's considerably more than it was, you know, even 10 years ago, and certainly, you know, proportionally more than 20 years ago. Ravinia, because it's an independent venue, and we don't have to work through Ticketmaster and other places, we've been very good about keeping our fees to much lower and much more competitive to our other venues. And when you look at the top prices for our tickets, they pale in comparison to United Center, Wrigley Field, Northern Ireland, other places. So, you know, we're still working hard to make music accessible. And certainly, you know, when it comes to a lot of concerts, you can get tickets for as low as $15, $20, $25 on the lawn for a number of concerts still.
You have some open dates on your schedule that say announcement pending or something like that. How will those be filled? What's coming?
We will be announcing them in the days and next couple of weeks. As you can imagine, trying to coordinate over 100 different musicians' schedules is a slightly daunting task. There are a few musicians that really want to come here, that we really want to come here, that just needed to finalize other dates on their tour to be able to say yes to everything. And so we're holding some of those dates open, and we do have a couple of backups in each of those cases. But I think people are going to be really excited for what we end up announcing, which should be in the next couple of weeks.
So that'll be big names then, probably.
It's all across the board. So it depends on which combinations say yes. But yes, you will end up seeing some exciting names there for sure.
We hear all the time about the riders that accompany musical artists' contract. Is it true? Do they demand all kinds of perks and foods and massages and things when they come to perform?
There's definitely a lot of lore about that. And some artists do get into that. I would say the character of artist that comes here, there isn't anything extravagant or unnecessary or over the top that they request. But I think we also do appreciate the fact that these artists are on the road almost half their lives. And so, you know, they want to make sure that they're eating properly and they've got the space that they need to be able to put on a really good show. And so it's really more trying to create a great guest environment and hospitality rather than sort of feeding crazy needs for an artist. And so we're grateful that the park allows them sort of that opportunity to also be re-inspired.
What's the most bizarre or unusual request you've gotten?
Sometimes some artists will travel with their families and their kids. And so they want toys, you know, to be able to, for the kids to be able to play, or, you know, they know we've got a lawn and so they can't, you know, have a bicycle or some of those bigger things on their tour bus. And so we'll crowdsource some things for the kids to be able to use to play. And it's really fun. Well, you know, mom may be doing sound check. The son and daughter are out there with some of our staff throwing a frisbee or playing catch.
What's new physically on the grounds of Ravinia?
So we're continuing to make improvements at Ravinia. We've been doing a lot of investing in our dining and augmenting those options. We're actually we're taking out the buffet and putting in a lounge. So it'd be a really casual spot for people to have drinks and small bites and to bring in guest chefs with big screens of what's going on the stage as well. And so that's probably one of the biggest changes that you'll see this year, but there are many more changes that we're looking forward to rolling out over the next few years.
Yeah, if you don't change and grow in anything, whether it's your house, your restaurant, whatever, you fall behind. How does that work at Ravinia?
So we're constantly looking ahead. Again, we've been around for 120 years, and we look forward to being around a lot longer than that going forward. And so we do look at not just the maintenance of the existing buildings, but how things need to evolve. And so, for instance, right before the pandemic, the music box was built as a beautiful space. There's a great program in there about the life of Leonard Bernstein. For those of you who may have seen the movie Maestro, this would be a great thing to be able to go see while it's still here, because it is a limited run show. That's provided a lot of different opportunities with the BMO rooftop bar as well. So we're looking ahead as to how concert production is changing, how audience seating is changing, and what we might need to do to modify that going forward.
You also have the Steens Music Institute, your summer training program, and the continuing education program with the Chicago Public Schools known as Reach, Teach, and Play. Let's talk a little bit about those. That is a wonderful element of your job that some people know very little about. 20,000 CPS students and Waukegan students are funded by your donations to your nonprofit.
This is a really important part of Ravinia's mission, is education, training, and community engagement. And you're right, a lot of people don't end up seeing that piece of it. We are in residence in the Lawndale and Austin communities in Chicago, as well as Waukegan to the north in Lake County. And we have youth orchestras that have been running for as much as 10 years or more. We have artists that are resident in classrooms throughout Chicago Public Schools. As you said, we end up reaching 20,000 students in a very meaningful way, not just drive-by music education, but repeatedly. And we end up, we've actually partnered with Circle Rock Charter School and helped to build theater there, the K-Rine Center, for the community and for music presentation. And we bring a lot of these students up here to Ravinia throughout the year and certainly during the summertime, including our Lawndale Family Music School, so grandparents and grandkids can take music lessons together. So these kids know Ravinia better than some of our staff members do. We're very proud of that, and we think that change comes through music. And also our Steens Music Institute has been around for over 30 years and has trained the next generation of musicians to the point where when you look at our program, a number of the featured soloists actually have been participants in our alumni of our Steens Music Institute. They are now among the best of the best in the industry today, and we're very proud of that in classical music and in jazz.
Do some of these students go on to musical scholarships in college and musical careers of their own?
Absolutely. A lot of the high school students that we're working with, we collaborate with them and help them get into music camps and help them get into music schools. We actually just recently hired a student who started in our program in elementary school, and she is now one of our teaching artists in our programs in Chicagoland community. So we've been doing this long enough that we see the full circle.
That's great. You rely on donors. How are donations going in this economy? Are they growing or shrinking? And how much of your job is the cultivation, care, and feeding of donors?
Donors are the lifeblood of the organization. If no for-profit organization could afford to maintain such a beautiful park, to spend millions and millions of dollars on its education and training program without any earned revenue against that. And again, that civic pride of Chicago comes to bear, where everybody wants to make sure that Chicago is better. And so they are very happy to be able to donate to help make the music play, to keep the park alive, and to do all the education programs. And I'm grateful to say that donations continue to be strong. They realize that this is an easy investment to make Chicago better.
So do you have to be like a politician raising money for his campaign? Do you have to be on the phone? Do you have to go to cocktail parties and be charming?
The good news is that you don't have to convince everybody. Everybody understands why, and they do want to give. But yes, we do need to be out, and we do need to be present and sharing our story. And we find the more that we share our story, the more inspired people are, and they give. So we're not asking people to do something they don't want to do. They're very happy to do it. We just need to get that story out more.
When you took over for Wells Kaufman, what was his biggest piece of advice to you?
Wells and I have known each other for a long time, and I've always appreciated his advice over the years and the different jobs that I've had over time. He worked very hard to grow the Reach, Teach, Play program in the different communities, and he worked very hard to diversify the both the artists on the stage and the programming on the stage, and created that as a strong foundation to grow. And I'm very grateful for that every single day, and we're continuing to continue that vision and, you know, of course, evolve it as times evolve as well.
Did he leave a letter in the drawer of your desk, as some outgoing U.S. presidents do?
No, but he does send me some texts every now and then, which are great.
Okay. Jeff Hayden, thank you so much for sharing the story of Ravinia. It's a wonderful place. Have a wonderful season, and I look forward to seeing what these open dates become. And we will see you all next week.
I look forward to seeing all of you at Ravinia this summer. Thanks so much for having me on, Fran.